I think I've gone to sleep this morning. Let's read the 16th verse, please. Let's read it together. Ready? And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. Now the book of Job, chapter 9. The ninth chapter of the book of Job, and in your Scofield Bible, page 575. Job chapter 9, verse 33. We'll read just this one verse also, and we'll read it together. Let's read, please. Ready? Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. And let's pray. Father, thank you for the delightful, serious time of taking the Lord's Supper. We're thankful for that which brings to our memories what you accomplished on the cross. How we thank thee. How we thank thee that we can freely assemble in this place, Sunday by Sunday. Thank you for this special time today. We get to hear thy word. We pray that you'd certainly speak through our preacher. And, of course, we're reminded at this time, too, to thank you especially for our freedom, for our country. Bless, we pray, the service, our preacher, and help us to listen intently. In Jesus' name, amen.
About 50 weeks a year, my desire for you to speak when you leave is my desire for you to say something like this. That sermon is exactly what I needed. About 2 or 3 weeks a year, I want you to leave saying, we have a great Savior and a great salvation. I rarely ever preach an evangelistic sermon. This morning is sort of one. But I want to speak this morning on one little title, My High Priest. My High Priest. I'm going to read for you just one passage. You need not turn to it. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he saith also another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. I want to assure you, as I always do on Lord's Supper Day, I will not be preaching past 12:10. I promise you, and I always keep that promise, I will not be preaching past 12:10. That's tonight. But I assure you that before 12:10 this morning, this afternoon, then, I will be finished by 12:10. I likewise promise you, and as you know, I keep that promise, that the invitation will be finished, and we will let you leave by or before 12:30. And that's always kept without exception, so don't you worry. It's about 12:05, and you'll say, the old man doesn't seem like he's gotten started yet. I'll just leave the plane on the ground. We'll taxi around the airport a while. But I do want you to let me have your attention for the next 25 minutes or so. The priesthood of Christ. Our Heavenly Father, I feel like a little first grader trying to quote the Gettysburg Address. I feel like a student in Math 101 trying to teach Einstein's theory. I feel like a child trying to teach adult material. For I could never, never, never adequately explain what it means that Jesus is our high priest. Help me to do my best. I promise I'll try. And may the people listen carefully and rejoice in our salvation today. Amen. Bible says that our Lord is a high priest He's not a high priest, as were the ones in the Old Testament days chosen by men. But he is the high priest not chosen himself, but chosen by the Heavenly Father as a go-between between God and man. It takes more than one title to describe what it means when I say, or the Bible says, he is my high priest. It takes more than one work for him to perform as my high priest. I'm going to let this side over here, Dr. Jorgensen will be my representative in a few moments, and I'm going to let him represent man. And I'm going to let this side over here, and Dr. Claire will be my helper here in a few minutes. I'll let him represent God. There are four different titles, at least, necessary for you to understand what the high priesthood of Christ means. The first title is the title of daysman. He was our daysman. I read in Job 9:33, bear in mind that Job was in the ash heap of the city dump. Bear in mind he was possessed of an awful disease of elephantiasis, a form of leprosy. Bear in mind that the bodies of his children buried in the cemetery nearby were barely cold in death. Bear in mind he had lost all of his wealth. Bear in mind his wife had forsaken loyalty to him. And there he sits, the most powerful man in town a few days ago, the subject and object of ridicule and scorn, poverty, and loneliness. And Job said these words, neither is there any daysman, he's talking to God, neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand on both of us. I wish I could have been there that day and talked to Job for a while. I could have explained to Job that there is a daysman between us. Now, in order to understand the high priesthood of Christ, you've got to understand in the first place he had to be a daysman. Now, what is a daysman? Someone to reach both of us. Someone who understands God and someone who understands man. So he may come to God on behalf of man and come to man on behalf of God. I went several years ago, I went to Germany to preach. I do not travel overseas a great deal. It's hard to get back for Wednesday night. But I took a Wednesday night and I went to Germany and preached 2 or 3 days in Germany. I ate 3 meals other than breakfast in Germany. One was on Monday night, one was on Tuesday noon, and one was on Wednesday night. I did not know the German language. I know a little bit of the German language. I know CC, Senor, and Enchilada, and stuff like that. But that's all the German I know. But I went to the restaurant, and I said, I want one of those. It was a long word with a lot of schnozzles in it, I said, I want one of those. I didn't know what I ordered. It came back a long wiener about that long, and that's what it was, and had some kraut with it. I ate it. Didn't like it too much, but I ate it. The next day at noon, they took me to a different restaurant, and I said, now I must not order that schnauzel schnoozel. I must not order that. So I knew what I ordered the night before, so I stayed away from that. And I pointed to something else. I didn't know what it said. Nobody was there to understand English, and I couldn't understand German. I pointed at something else. I knew it wasn't the same name I ordered last night. She brought me a wiener about that long with some sauerkraut. That night, went out to eat again. I said, now I've got to avoid those two things I ordered. They're okay, but not too good. And so I avoided those. I pointed something on the other page. She brought me a long wiener about that long and some sauerkraut. I turned Dr. Wally Beebe, who was there eating with me, it's Dr. Russell Anderson. I turned Dr. Russell Anderson and I said these words, I need someone who understands both of us. I need someone who understands the German language and someone who understands the English language to help me. And that's what Job said. Job said, I need somebody who could reach over here and place his hand on God and reach over here and place his hand on me. I need a daysman, as Job said. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand on both of us. Now, Jesus, my high priest, was in all ways tempted like I am. Jesus, my high priest, was acquainted with grief like I am. He was here for 33 years, and he had to be in order that he might understand me. So he can reach out to God and touch God because he is God. And he can reach out to man and touch man because he was likewise man. He was the daysman who could reach both of us, understand both of us, and by the way, is both of us. Somebody asked me, Brother Bill, the other day, I said, Brother Howells, all these evangelists and fellows you pastor that used to be pastors, do they give you any trouble? I said, not a bit. In fact, they're as loyal as anybody in our church. I mean, these are men who have pastored. I'm talking about Larry Smith. I hesitate to call him here. I know I'll miss some. I'm talking about Bill Burr. I'm talking about Brother Doug Kalap. I'm talking about Brother Sprunger. And all these men who at one time, we probably have a dozen of them around here that used to pastor. And now they're in other capacities in service for God. Nobody understands me like they do. You see, they sit in the pew as a member of this church today. And yet they stood behind the pulpit for years and pastored. So those men can reach out and they can touch me on one side because they know what it's like to be a pastor. They know the burden. They know the load. They know the work. They know the concern. And they reach out and they understand. But they sit beside you in the pew today and they understand how hard it is to stay awake while a preacher's preaching. In fact, Brother Bill never has succeeded in that yet. And he's got a sore on his right, on his side here where she punches him like that and wakes him up. But praise God, that's what Jesus is. Jesus can come to God and say, Dear God, I know what it's like down there. I've been there. I know the loneliness of the Mount of Olives. I know the feeling of pain. I know the feeling of desertion. I know the feeling of being betrayed. I know the feeling of burdens and heartaches. I've been down there. He could come to man and say to man, I'm also God. And I want you to know that God is able to give you strength. And Job said, if I just had somebody somewhere that could reach out and touch God and reach over and touch me, hey, I've got good news for you. We have that some man. Our high priest forever, the Bible says. That's the first thing it was to be the high priest. He must be able to touch man and able to touch God. But that does not adequately describe what a high priest is or what Jesus is as my high priest. There's a second title. And that second title is mediator. He is a daysman, but that's not enough. I add to that the word mediator. Now, what is the word mediator? A mediator is someone between two estranged parties that works out a plan for reconciliation. That's what mediation is. In a labor dispute, for example, somebody goes over here to the boss. What do you call them? Management. And they say, look, this. What do you think about this? And he works out a plan that's acceptable to the boss. Then he goes over here to man and to the employee and says, I have an arrangement. The boss has agreed to. Would you agree to it? And he says, well, no, this is what I'll accept. I take it back over again and I say, this is what they've said they will accept. And you say, no, I can't do that, but I'll give a little bit here. And I come back over here and I say to you, this is what the boss said. And finally, I come to the boss and I say to management, will you accept this? And I come to labor and say, will you accept this? And I have become the mediator. And that's what the high priest is. Not only is he the one who understands man and understands God, can put his hand on man and put his hand on God, but he's likewise the one who is able to work out the plan of reconciliation. And he is my high priest, he's my mediator. He presents it to one. He comes to God, for example, and says, understand that you and man are estranged. Is that right? He comes to man and says, you're estranged from God. Do you understand that? Now, Jesus said, I've got to figure out some kind of a plan. What will that plan be? I know what it be. I'll become flesh. I'll go to earth. I'll live for 33 years. I'll live a perfect life. I will not have to pay for my own sins. Then I will go to Calvary. And I will heap all the sins of man upon my own self. And I, as the Lord's Supper symbolized this morning, I will pay the price for man's sin.
And as my daysman, he touches God and touches me. As my mediator, he works out a plan to see if it's okay with both parties. He comes to God and says, Father, if I go to Calvary and take all the sins after I've been down there for 33 years and never sinned, all the sins of mankind, and I pay that penalty, will that be acceptable with you? Oh, that's good news. There's a way back. And our mediator, our high priest, has gone to the Father and presented his plan, and the Father has accepted that plan. And he comes over here and he says to man, the Father has agreed upon the plan. I'm the mediator. I've made a plan. I'll go to earth. I'll pay the price on Calvary and bear your sins. And all you got to do is believe that and agree to accept my plan of mediation. Will you accept that? You just got saved. Didn't say he didn't say, Father, if he joins the church, will you accept that? He didn't say that because you wouldn't accept that. He didn't say, Father, if he lives a good life. In the first place, the Father knows he can't live a good life, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. If he say we've not sinned, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. He did not say, take communion, and I'll take you back. He said, I will accept the plan of the mediator to take you back, if you will accept that plan like I accepted that plan. And Jesus went to God the Father and said, Father, has the mediator between God and men. By the way, 1 Timothy 2:5, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. I didn't say there are two mediators, Mary and the man Christ Jesus. Didn't say there are three mediators, Mary and the Pope and the man Christ Jesus. Didn't say there are four mediators, Mary and the Pope and the priest and the man Christ Jesus. Hey, if Cardinal Bernardine is your intercessor, what you going to do when he dies? I got good news for you. There is a mediator, my Bible says in Hebrews 7:25, who ever liveth to make intercession for us. My high priest must be my daysman. He must be able to touch God and touch man. But then he also must be my mediator. He must draw up a plan. Now this morning, I'm representing him and I come to the Father. And I say, Father, I've got this plan. I'm willing to go to earth, be virgin born, live a perfect life, never sin, so I won't have to pay a penalty for my sins. And I'm willing to take upon myself the sins of all these people in this room this morning. And if I pay that penalty and rise again after 3 days and three nights, if they will accept that plan, will you accept that plan? Hey, I've got good news for you. I've just been to the Heavenly Father. And the Father told me He would accept the plan that I've made. Now, all you got to do is do exactly what He just did. You say, I too will accept that plan. You say, well, that's easy believism. Call it what you want to call it, Pharisee. It's the Bible. You accept the plan the mediator makes. That's all you can do. As a mediator for a labor dispute, you can join every union you want to, but he's got to agree to take you back. You can clean your life up and be the cleanest plumber in the whole country, but he's got to take you back. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you listen to me. As our mediator, Jesus didn't draw a plan up whereby you could live a good life and get to heaven. He didn't draw a plan up whereby you could confess your sins to El Papa and get to heaven. He didn't draw up a plan as our mediator whereby you could take communion or get baptized or join the church. He did not draw that plan up. He drew a plan up where He Himself would pay the entire price. He goes to the Father and says, Father, is that okay with you? And the Father says, that's okay with me. And if you ever get to heaven, it'll be because you accept the plan that our mediator has made. What a Savior. What a gospel. What a high priest. He's my mediator. There's a third word that must be given to describe my high priest. If he's only my daysman and only my mediator, that's not enough. There is another word, another title, another responsibility, another duty, another work he must perform and do to be my high priest. Number three, my advocate. My little children, 1 John 2:1, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, what does the word advocate mean? That's the legal word. That's the attorney word. Follow me carefully. As my daysman, he can reach out and touch the Father and understand Him. As my daysman, he can reach out and touch man and understand him. As my mediator, because he is a daysman, he can now be a mediator. He's the only one qualified to be a mediator because he's the only one that knows the God-man. As my advocate, my attorney, he sits on my side in the courtroom. Sit over here. Sit over here. This is a guilty man right here. The John, stand right there, Brother John. Brother Colston, wake up. Stand right in the middle there. Right there. Okay, you're the guilty one, or on trial, and you're Judge Ito. I gather you've been watching that, haven't you? As the daysman, I could reach out to God and to man. As the mediator, I drew a plan up acceptable to both. As the advocate, I'm your attorney. And I'll guarantee you, brother, I've never lost a case yet. Thank you. Thank you. Several years ago, in fact, it's been probably 25 years ago, or more, one of my friends, Dr. L.C. Stewart, a Baptist preacher in Georgia, was convicted by a court of murder for murder. Some wild hoodlums had been stealing gasoline out of his buses. He went out one day, shot the gun in the air, and one of the guys accidentally shot his buddy, and he was killed, and they blamed him for doing it. He got 17 years in the penitentiary for manslaughter. I think that was what they called it. I know he got 17 years in the penitentiary. I knew he was innocent. I knew the man. I believed in him. I picked up the phone one day, and I had no idea I could get through, but I picked up the phone, called Boston, Massachusetts. And I said, I want the number for F. Lee Bailey. They gave me his phone number. I called, and the secretary answered, the reception answered, and I said, I want to speak to F. Lee Bailey, please. She said, just a moment, I'll put you right through. She didn't know me from Pope Pius. We do look a lot alike. He said, hello. I said, Mr. Bailey. Mr. Bailey. He said, yes. I said, I'd like to hire you for a case. I hired him for $22,000. Guess who paid for it? You did. I hired him for $22,000. And F. Lee Bailey walked in one day to a little small town courtroom down in Georgia. And the other attorney was a young country attorney. They said when he saw F. Lee Bailey walk in that room, he developed palsy. And F. Lee Bailey defended my friend. But he lost. He lost. Even F. Lee Bailey loses cases. He did get the sentence cut from 17 years to 4 years, and he got on a good behavior after about 17 months. But he lost. Do I have good news for you? My attorney has never lost a case. As my daysman, he understands God, he understands me, and qualifies him to be my mediator, to draw up a plan, and go to God and see if it's acceptable, and go to man and see if it's acceptable, and then as my advocate, my lawyer, he sits beside me in the courtroom. The prosecutor stands up. I won't tell you the prosecutor's name, but he has a forked tail, wears a red suit, and smells like smoke. Judge Clement, you'll understand this because you're a judge in the courtroom. My lawyer stands up. To the judge, and he says, Your Honor. You're the judge. Just stand there. I doubt you knew that very long, but the prosecuting attorney says,
old Jorgensen over there has sinned. Your Honor, he got mad at the preacher of the day. The preacher never makes a mistake. But he got mad at the preacher. He went home and cussed the preacher to his wife. And Jorgensen is sweating because he's guilty. Old Jorgensen's over here sweating. And the one who was this daysman, who was qualified to be the mediator, and who volunteered after being a mediator to be the advocate of the attorney, says, "I object, Your Honor." Brother Moffat, you stand up here. You're the devil for a second. Tell him what Moffat has done, what Jordan's has done. Okay, fine. Object, Your Honor. Object, Your Honor. Object. He says, "Objection sustained." Is that what they say, Judge? Sustained? Objection sustained. What does it mean? And I come over as his attorney. Jesus does and says, "Your Honor, object." He says, "Objection sustained." I object. I want to show you something. See that mercy seat right there? That's my blood. I paid for that sin that Jorgensen committed. And God the Father says, "Innocent." Thank you. Not pardon, innocent. Not he sinned and I've forgiven him. No, sir. Far as I'm concerned, he has never sinned at all. He is my advocate, my lawyer, my attorney. Who is this high priest? What is it that makes him my high priest? What are his responsibilities? Number one, he must be my daysman. Able to reach out and touch God, reach out and touch man, so he's the only one that can be my mediator. And the mediator draws a plan up that must be accepted by the Father and accepted by the Son. And to that extent, Christ died first for God and then for man. As my mediator, then he becomes my advocate, my attorney, and sits beside me in court to defend me as my lawyer, who, thank God, never has and never will lose a case. But that doesn't describe him totally. In Hebrews 7:25, he says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. What does that mean? As intercessor, he's the reminder. He sits at the right hand of God. Why does he sit down? Because he's finished his work. He sits at the right hand of God. He's finished his work as daysman, qualifying him. He's finished his work as mediator, drawing up the plan and offering it to the Father and to us. He's finished his work as our lawyer. Now he sits down and intercedes. What does it mean to intercede? It means he stands there and points to the blood. Points to the blood. Now I've got to hurry because I've got 2 minutes. The best part, as I mentioned a while ago, is that our high priest never dies. Remember the story about the 6 cities of refuge in the Bible? Those cities of refuge were placed advantageously around the land of Canaan. So if a person inadvertently and accidentally killed somebody, people said, "I'll get him back, I'll get revenge." This guilty person could flee to the city of refuge. And there in the city of refuge, he could be safe and nobody could get to him. And his pursuer could not get to him to get revenge. But the Bible says, how long can that guilty murderer stay in the city of refuge? It says he stays there till the present high priest dies. He says he is safe as long as the high priest lives. Brother, if that had been me, I'd have sent vitamins to the high priest. I'd have showed him those Bible studies on Wednesday night. I'd have sent some carrot juice to him, orange juice and celery juice and prune juice and cactus juice and all the rest of that stuff. You know how long my intercessor keeps me safe? You know how long I'm safe till I sin? No. Because when I sin, I've got an intercessor that says, "Look, it's under the blood. I sin again, under the blood.
You say, Brother Hiles, if I believe that, I go out and sin all I want to. That's exactly what I do. I've taken every drink of liquor this week I wanted to take. I don't want to sin. Why? Because I have a high priest who ever liveth to make intercession for me. Ever liveth. Ever liveth. Ever liveth. Ever liveth. Ever liveth. And I am as safe as long as the high priest lives. So he is my high priest because he is my daysman, touching God and touching me, qualifying him to be my mediator who made a plan to satisfy God and satisfy me. He becomes my lawyer at the court of justice. He becomes my intercessor to point to the blood. Would you bow your heads, please? No one is leaving unless...